This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about the Big Hugs release at Half Acre, and we get hard with hard cider, hard craft sodas. All that and more on this week's episode. What did we do these last 3 weeks, Zoe? What'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? It's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. Every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. My name is Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And if you've never listened to this show, I'd be surprised because we're pretty amazing.
It's pretty much the number one podcast in the city.
Yeah, I don't know that many podcasts in the city, but I'm pretty sure this is number one. I'm definitely number one for guys drinking beer in an office. But yeah, that's sort of what we do on the podcast. We drink some beer, we talk about all the events we went to last week, as well as inform you of the events that are happening this week that you should be checking out. We do our best to dig up what we can find on the internet and some things that are happening. Sometimes it's late, especially around the holidays like this week. I know we had trouble even making it to some things, and then coming up this week, it's a little late, but really fun. If you've been listening for a while, thanks for joining us. Hopefully you've been able to make it to some of these events as well and checked out and, you know, said hi to us. You know, we love running into people and saying how much they like the show.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Feel good.
Feels like we're doing God's work, right?
We are doing the Lord's work.
But we're always drinking on this show. Usually local beer. But we're also starting off this episode. I was like, we're going to drink some Big Hugs Vanilla, but we need like a kickoff beer. And then, you know, let's start with a 9% IPA.
Let's get right to it, man. I'm in my happy place.
Yeah.
So kudos to you on the selection, man. We got the Stone Enjoy By IPA. Now, they rolled out this whole Enjoy By concept maybe like, I think last year was the first time I saw it. And I tell you, it's pretty brilliant, man.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, hey, you know, enjoy by, and they slap a date on it. And then they're saying, hey, you know, don't waste any time. Drink this beer as soon as you see it.
Right.
You know, and it forces them to make more of it once it's gone.
And then you feel like, oh, crap, I got to drink this fast.
It's really smart, man. I don't know if they're still doing it, but in the beginning, they would, like, have a contest, and they would vote. And then the city with the most votes got the beer.
Okay.
You know, so, like, Cleveland and Chicago and Atlanta and Chicago would win kind of thing.
Okay. They probably just roll through, like, the accounts that are like, yeah, this account drinks all of this. Like, we get the less beer sent back at this account because we're drinking the 12, 25, 15. That date's going to come by and a restaurant or bar or liquor store's going to be like, here you go, take your beer back. And then they're, you know, they're stuck with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great concept from Stone. And then they started in the mid 90s. So they're really one of the grandfathers with that aggressive IPA style, you know, endless IPAs from those guys. All of them really, really fantastic. Uh-huh. So,
but we are not, we don't want to focus on California beer here. This is a Chicago Beer Pass.
Yeah, so that was the warm-up.
This is the warm-up beer. I'm still like halfway through because it is
opening,
a 9%.
Opening act right here.
Got a little more to go through. But we have another big boy here. We got the vanilla Big Hugs.
Yeah, now Big Hugs, the annual Imperial Stout from Half Acre.
Yeah.
Now, this is the first year they've done a variant, right?
Yeah, this is the first time. I made it up there. Probably spill into some of this here, they said this was the first year they did it because they had the space. They opened up the new facility, and so a lot of the tanks and the bottling line, like all that stuff, got moved to the new place. So they can do barrels now.
There you go.
They even said like they're gonna have some sours, other barrel stuff, a lot of just room for fun times.
Yeah,
yeah.
They are definitely, I would say, they're neck and neck with like Revolution for like that hometown brewery crown. Like, I mean, as far as like the breweries that people in Chicago get most excited about, Half Acre's near the top of the list.
Yeah, I think the three are probably Half Acre, Rev, and Pipeworks.
Yeah, I would not disagree with that.
And then Goose to a degree.
Yeah, to an extent.
But yeah, whatever Half Acre does, man, lines and people go nuts. And, they always do it well. So let's should we pour some of this out?
Yeah, for sure. So how was your Big Hugs Day, man?
So Big Hugs Day, I got up there about 9:30, which I believe is the same time I got up there kind of last year.
Yeah.
Line was nuts this year. It was way longer. El Nino was out. You know, it was so warm that day.
Oh, yeah. That was like when it was like 60 degrees that day.
Yeah. So it was a nice day. So it was not surprising there was a lot more people out there. So probably double the distance I was in line last time. Like I was right by the alley last year. And then so pretty far back this time.
El Nino, man. Spanish for the Nino.
The Nino. But they opened at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So hour and a half, hanging out in line, Dark Matters, handing out coffee.
There you go.
Coming around, so that's nice.
Yeah.
And then when you got closer into the brewery, Half Acre Kitchen was going. They were handing out grilled cheese and soup.
No kidding.
Yeah, so samples of the kitchen.
So they got to – wait, so is this at the new space then?
Yeah.
Okay. All
right. So the kitchen's up and going there. So you can go there and get food now.
They're not fucking around. I just assumed it'd be a lot longer than now. But yeah. It sounds like it's almost ready to go.
The kitchen there?
Yeah, the whole thing. Like the new brew house.
Yeah, the new brew house, I feel like they said like maybe late spring.
Okay.
To be able to have the kitchen and everything open there. But yeah, grilled cheeses, and then they're getting samples of Big Hugs, vanilla Big Hugs, and maple Big Hugs on nitro.
Really?
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that was pretty tasty. Mm. But yeah, a lot of people turned out. You could buy two bottles of vanilla.
Yeah.
And then four bottles of regular Big Hugs. Mm. I bought two and two.
Yeah.
I always end up with like too much Big Hugs, even though I love the beer. It's just like I sit on it and then the coffee falls out.
And yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing there when you hold on to it.
Yeah,
and then
I
bought a bag of the coffee infused Big Hugs. So it was coffee that had Big Hugs added to the green beans.
Really?
And then they roast. Yeah, there was crazy process. Jesse from Dark Matter explained it all to me.
Yeah.
And I was a few Big Hug samples in, and I was kind of like, whew, this is science stuff. I was like, I'm not following all what he's saying here, but I think they did a post, and you can definitely message him on Twitter or email him, and he would explain it to you. But it's a pretty cool concept. I have the back here. I haven't cracked into it yet.
They are the coffee roaster of choice for breweries.
Yeah.
In Chicago, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, because they love beverages.
Yeah.
So they do very interesting things with their beverages and everything.
Yeah. That sounds cool, man. Now, did the vanilla, we always love the label, right?
Yeah.
Now, did the vanilla have the same label as the original Big Hugs?
No, it's a different. They were both different labels.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, and again, this peel concept. So we
have you peeled one yet?
Took the peek.
Okay,
you can peel it there.
Should we peel it?
Yeah, go ahead. I think the other one also has a peel. So this is a fun thing because you could stick up the label somewhere. I think we were talking about the arcade beers, like the comic strips. Like if we could peel those, that'd be awesome.
Oh, and then it reveals like now that we got the video now. Video, we've got a like a really big vanilla bean and whatnot up there.
Yeah, a little vanilla bean leaf and everything. So pretty cool. What do you think of the Big Hugs? Vanilla.
I like Big Hugs, and it just tickles you with vanilla. You know, it's not overwhelming with vanilla, which I like.
Right.
It's definitely a nice spin on the original.
I have a bottle here of the regular two, but I felt like the vanilla was so great to open here on the show because it's unique, it's different, it's the first time they're doing it.
Yeah, man, nice and creamy.
Wow.
And fantastic, good stuff.
And so I think they clock in at, was it around 10%? Yeah. So just a little more than this Enjoy By even. So I like this beer. Saw a lot of people there, good turnout. Always a friendly crowd there.
Yeah.
People aren't drinking in line like other festivals. Like, people are pretty civilized. Like, it's also super early
people
in the morning.
People act like they got some sense when they
They got some sense, yeah. Ran into Phil, small bar Phil.
He's now Half Acre Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like their lead sales guy, I think, right?
Something like that. I know he's a Raj's boss, basically.
Oh, really?
Like the command chain or whatever that is. I didn't see Raj there.
No.
Saw Gabriel, saw Matt. lots of other great Half Acre people. So it was cool.
They're good guys, man. Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then they were given a taste of, was it coffee Abraxas?
Okay.
Woo.
Yeah.
That was where it's at.
That's like a Mexican chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Like a 10% Mexican chocolate cake.
That was good.
Yeah, that's a great beer, man.
But where were you, man? You weren't there.
I know, man. I was in the bed, you know, not doing much, just, you know, just laying low.
Okay.
Yeah. I went to a couple events this week. Not as cool, but like, and not even really beer centric. They were more like a hard cider and hard soda based events. Started the two that I went to.
Okay, so you went hard.
I went hard. Okay. I went hard. So there's so the Miller Coors crew, they have all these other brands that they focus on every once in a while, right? So Smith and Forge hard cider is one, and then Henry's hard soda is the other. So we went to a Dinosaur Barbecue.
Okay.
Which is you've been to Dinosaur, right?
I have. It's over there by Whole Foods and
exactly.
VIPs.
Yeah, and Joe's on weed.
Yeah, whatever. There's off-track betting.
Is there?
It looks like a sweet off-track betting, like part of Joe's on weed. I might have to check that out in the summer. It looks like they have a roof.
Yeah, so this is all like basically like right off North Ave.
Yeah.
And then
it's a weird spot back there.
It is. It is. It's different. So they had this event where you could get a shave. The State Street barbers were there giving haircuts and beard trims.
Okay.
And then this is all in the upstairs space at Dinosaur. So Dinosaur apparently has got like four or five locations nationwide. And
oh,
then
wow.
You could
okay.
You can enjoy Dinosaur Barbecue, and then you could also have this cider, okay. Smith and Forge. So I'm like, well, what the hell is Smith and Forge? What's that about? You know, and they're like, well, you know, Smith refers to blacksmith, and then Forge refers to like the forging steel.
Okay.
You know, and they were just kind of like trying to pay tribute to, you know, the industrial age, right. Of like, you know, the late 1800s, where a lot of these buildings were being erected.
Right. And, trying to really show how hard they are.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's what it means. Like blacksmith and, you know.
Yeah. And they were saying, and according to them, they were saying, hey, you know, this was a really popular time for cider as well. You know, this is when cider, like the initial boom in America for cider.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it was a little disconnected for me. But that's the story. That's
yeah,
what
I don't know the cider history. I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
Story to hear from Virtue or
curious
something.
To know more. Yeah, so I ran into Colleen was her name. She was actually, remember when we did the podcast at Miller Coors? We
yeah.
did with Lisa. So one of the ladies there was at this event.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we chatted for a little bit. And this is a rollout they're trying to do in New York, LA, and Chicago.
Okay.
Yeah, just have a cool event where people come out, get a haircut. It's kind of weird. You go get your beard trimmed.
You get some barbecue. Some cider.
And then you get some cider. Yeah.
All right. Take a bath.
And then the next one's going to include
and more.
There's always and more. You know. So I went to that, and then Henry's Hard Soda is another one of their brands.
Okay.
And this was at Henry's Swing Club in River North. So Henry's Hard Soda is apparently like a soda company that started in like 1856 from the Pacific Northwest, and they've always been on the Miller Coors roster, but I think it hasn't really found its niche yet. This is actually the first time I've ever heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Henry's Hard Soda. So this is a 4.2% soda. They're rolling out a ginger ale and an orange. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's a little bit too much for me. Like, I'm not really like the cider.
Is
I think
sweet.
It's way too sweet for me. I thought the cider was fantastic. The cider you could drink straight from the can. The cider actually went very well with the barbecue.
What was the cider like? If you Smith and Forge, like, it's a pretty standard cider brand.
Yeah, I'd put I wouldn't
Angry
say
Orchard.
Yeah, I'd say maybe a little bit better.
Crispin.
A little bit above Angry Orchard, below Crispin.
Crispin. Okay.
I think Crispin's fan. I think I like I like Crispin a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a cider, not the cider, but the hard soda, which is 4.2%. And that's something you would drink if you're like, you know, if you've got a good night already going, right, and you just want to extend your night, and,
yeah,
you know, without having too much to drink, then you'd have one of these sodas. Then you'd have one of these sodas. I had to have mine on ice with a lime.
Okay. Do you feel like it's almost a dare, like a, you got a, what was the thing where people would hide, just like smearing off ice, like you get iced.
Oh yeah, my buddy was saying that it reminded him of Zima. The ginger ale one was like, dude,
okay.
This is the return of Zima. This is the R. Kelly remix, the 2015 R. Kelly remix of Zima.
Yeah,
I thought
Zima.
That was pretty funny.
Zima was basically on its way out by the time I was starting to, to really drink.
Yeah.
Like, I know of Zima, but I never, I don't know if I ever had a Zima.
Yeah. We were talking to the, crew and they were saying, hey, you know, this is something that's geared towards, you know, like this party was for like just a couple hours. And they're saying, hey, it's something geared towards people who, you know, just want to have a little something to drink and then they've got to go back to doing whatever it is they do.
Okay.
So like the commuter, for example, be good for you. Like not in your car, obviously, but like, you know, if you're on a train, you know, right. this is kind of designed for you.
Okay. You know? You have like a soda or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, have a soda or two.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I would say the Smith & Forage was a little more interesting than the hard cider.
Okay.
Or the hard soda.
Hard soda.
Yeah. Okay. So, oh, and then one more event, man. I hung out with Schlafly, man. So Schlafly is a brewery in St. Louis that, that's about 25 years old now, actually.
Yeah, they are.
But you can find Schlafly stuff around here.
Mm-hmm. They make a really good, is that pumpkin beer?
Yeah, their pumpkin lager, and then they got their pale ale's pretty good, and then apparently they've got like four or five, you know, year rounds, and then they're introducing in January they're introducing their grapefruit IPA and their white lager. So the white lager has orange peel and coriander in it, almost like a wit.
So the grapefruit IPA is like a Sculpin.
Yeah, okay. A lot, and they really focus on. They'll focus on a little German style, so their interpretation of it is a lot cleaner than Sculpin. Sculpin's going to be, you know what I mean?
It's aggressive. It's
yes.
It's a mean fish, man.
Yeah. Is that what it is? That was Sculpin. I know there's a fish on the can.
Sculpin's a can. They're all fish.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know anything about Sculpin. I'm not a fisherman.
Yeah. So those guys were in town, and they were I'm going to do like a full story, and I got some good audio notes, but they were saying they were the first brewery in St. Louis post-prohibition.
Okay.
And how they, you know, they've got some beers on the East Coast because some of them went to school in the in New England, and then they wanted to have their beer out there.
Well, so they were the post-prohibition, so it was before, or like what, Budweiser wasn't back up and running yet?
The first craft.
The first craft. The first craft. Okay. Brewery.
Yeah.
All right.
Like before Budweiser?
No. Yeah, like they, I don't think, ever left, so I'm pretty sure they were making stuff.
Yeah, they were the first craft brewery post-prohibition in St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, so back then, he said, back in 1994, there were 312 craft breweries.
In 94?
In
94. Wow.
Now we're looking at 4,000 plus in 2015.
Yeah. No wonder I can't. Keep up with everything that happens and comes out, right?
It's too much, man. Yeah. So they were pretty cool guys, man. They were just talking about you know, the craft beer scene in St. Louis and how they just want to sell beer in Chicago because it's their biggest neighbor.
Yeah.
And they're rolling with Lakeshore Beverage.
Oh, cool.
And we got a chance to sample out a couple of their beers and just talk to them a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all I went to. Yeah.
All right. Sounds pretty good. Always like Schlafly. I went to the brew pub down there. Have you ever been?
No, I saw photos that day. They said that part of Escape from New York with Kirk Douglas was filmed in their brew house.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird. the brew pub's pretty nice. It's kind of like a classic brew pub-y kind of, you know.
Yeah.
It has like a rock bottom kind of vibe because it's like pretzels and patty melts and like nothing. But the beer's good. It was packed a couple times I've been there. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I like what he was saying about how he's like, hey, you know, we understand we live in the same town as Budweiser, but it's like, but people's tastes are changing. And even though, you know, they can coexist in a space with Budweiser and there's no tension because they know that people want different flavors. They want clean, classic styles in different flavors. And when you're a company as big as those guys, they're not necessarily interested in providing that. They don't care about that as much.
Right.
You know, they want to roll out that lager.
They care about it because they're shutting them down, but
yeah, that's true.
Pushing them out.
Yeah, they're shutting them down, pushing them out, buying them. You know? but they were saying like, hey, you know, it doesn't really intimidate them that they're in a town with a crew like Budweiser because they know that people want to support small businesses.
Right. Yeah, that's always a good thing, especially in a town like that where I think we support Goose Island here, especially because we have so many friends there.
Yeah.
And I think if you lived and grew up in St. Louis, you might be like, yeah, Budweiser is this huge company, but you know, they're from here. Like, I like their stuff. I like their vibe, maybe.
You look at them differently.
Yeah. But you want to support your local breweries too, just like we do on the show. We're drinking Half Acre and Rev and Temperance and all that stuff. So That'll be cool. I know Shafley and Urban Chestnut being here, they're all making great beers.
Yeah, and they I saw it when I heard them talk and I tried their beers. There are some similarities between just like an appreciation for old German style beers between Schlafly and Urban Chestnut.
Okay. Do you think that comes from being in St. Louis with Budweiser and just the heritage maybe?
Yeah, I mean it's a shadow that you can't ignore. You know, it's the largest brewery in America and they're in your backyard.
Yeah.
Right? So I think so.
Right, cuz the breweries here in Chicago, they're not necessarily like we're going back to traditional ale, like this style. Like we have off color that's like, oh, we want to revitalize some of these old styles.
Yeah, styles that almost died, styles that you never heard of. They want to make those. We look at a crew like Pipeworks, and then every week, like literally their first year out, they made like 50 different beers.
Right, so they want to do new stuff. So Chicago's a very, I guess, forward-thinking beer city rather than like a not necessarily appreciation of. I don't want to say that because you do have breweries that make fantastic style, like Metro and even Goose with their English IPA.
Yeah, we're more excited about. I mean, of course, we obviously, you know, we get all these beers that come from around the country, and that do a good job here, it's volume wise, sales wise. But we have an appreciation for creative beers here,
right?
And I don't know if that's the same everywhere.
I know if on West Coast you have those IPAs, but you can only drink so many IPAs, right?
Yeah.
But definitely, man, so many great beers happening, and you know, new ones coming to Chicago every time. And I think it's fun when, even though Shafley's been here, that they're coming even more here, and Lakeshore does a great job of like pushing brands out.
Lakeshore would be
Sweetwater,
Urban Chestnut, Brooklyn Brewery, and now Schlafly.
Just
to name a few.
Just a few. That portfolio is giant. So I think they do a good job of promoting those brands and doing events. So
yeah,
that was fun. Keep an eye out. Definitely try their beer if you can, because it's always good. It's the reason they come to Chicago. Because
the Grapefruit IPA was really nice.
Okay,
it was really nice. Yeah. Get it, get the glass, put your hand, you know, fill it halfway, put your hand over it, swirl it around, and then these hops just explode when you do that.
Was it like a 5% grapefruit?
Yeah, it was more like 6.
Okay. So yeah, pretty, it's not a Radler.
It's not a Radler. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's like hand zested grapefruit. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. All right. Not a bad week of events happening. Should we look forward on, man, it's Christmas, like what, a week?
Yeah, Christmas is next week.
A week and a day.
Yeah.
We should be back with another episode before Christmas.
Right on.
We may be light on the events because, man, I got to do all that shopping. I got to wrap.
It's like I got to shop.
Really, I just ordered from Amazon. But anyway, so what do we have coming up this week?
Right on. Let's slide right into it, man. On Thursday, there's a Meet the Cider Maker event at Beguile Brewing. Beguile is debuting their cidery concept, Broken Nose Cider Company. Yeah, so there's a Q&A from 7 to 9. They'll have samples of the cider, and then you can also, like, you know, hang out with the Beguile guys. Yeah. So they got their cider license earlier this year. Wine and spirits license, I think, is what it officially is.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's Thursday.
So Kevin's brother is a cidery or ciderer.
Yeah, he's a cider bro.
Cider bro in what, Portland or Oregon?
Yeah. So that's probably where he got the inspiration from, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's Thursday, and that's Thursday the 17th. And then Friday, December 18th, a Revolution. They're doing a dark side tapping at Flow and Santos. Now, if you've never been to Flow and Santos, man, it's in South Loop. It's a pizza joint.
Yeah.
It's like this Italian-Polish hybrid pizza joint.
They have a really good, I don't want to say pierogi pizza, but it was like a sauerkraut and sausage pizza.
Yeah. Their stuff's really good.
They have pierogies.
Have pierogies, and they've got pizza. And, you know, they said they use in their sauce to make it sweet, they use carrots. Like, there's not, like, minced carrots. They just, like, take carrots and steep them in there.
Okay.
And
squeeze it, like, juice the carrots.
For sweetness.
Yeah,
and then they pull them out. And that's their unique spin on tomato sauce.
Oh, neat, okay.
It's pretty good. And you know what? There's a tour called the Chicago Pizza Tour.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered this place.
Yeah.
And it's not as overwhelming as it sounds. You go to five pizzerias, but, you know, it's so spread out that it actually works.
Okay.
And it closes at, it ends at Flow and Santos.
See, a buddy there had a going away party at Flow and Santos, and yeah. I was like, man, Polish pizza, like, this just sounds
right.
Like, come on, I'm Polish, like, you know, other people make pizza better. Like, I'm just going to say it, like, right. We don't, it's good, we don't, we can't make it. Polish people are like, ah, whatever.
Yeah.
We'll eat someone else's.
Right.
And no, so, I hear that. But I went there, I was like, damn, that was pretty good for what it was.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
It's tasty. It's a good alternative, man. They've got, they're going to have Dies Tar, Dies Cafe, and six other dark beers from Revolution. Basically, all the stuff you can find in their Deep Woods series. You go to the store, and they Revolution's got the bombers in the box.
Okay.
A lot of those beers will be on tap this night.
Oh, cool. So, okay.
Yeah, that's Friday. And then we'll go right into Saturday, man. Saturday, the...
The 17th, right?
19th. Saturday the 19th, man. Temperance is 2 years old already.
Whoa. Yeah, okay.
That was quick, man. Temperance up in Evanston is having their two-year anniversary party. It starts at 2 p.m. They're going to have food trucks, DJs, a lot of barrel-aged beers going down at Temperance.
Man, we went up there. Man, we had to have gone up there about a year ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Maybe a year and a half even.
Yeah, that's when they were doing the... whatever their pineapple beer was.
Yeah, that was the first release of the Beechwood Blonde.
We did some shotgunning up there that day.
Did some shotgunning.
That
yeah.
was when the it was we did the audio on this show and then the Hopcast filmed.
Yeah,
that was a pretty cool day actually.
It was a throwdown double episode. We need to do that again for something else.
Yeah, right. Like that's a good destination brewery. It's not terribly far.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's just right outside the city.
We could do that up at Sketchbook. I know those guys want us to come and. They owe me a growler for backing them on Kickstarter still.
I feel like we've named, that's more than enough reason to go now.
I get shit every time I see them at events. Like, when are you coming up here? I'm like,
Well.
All right. So Temperance. Yeah, all right. Temperance. Congratulations to them. Claudia has been making great beer. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
Also Saturday, Blue Island. So this is in Blue Island, in the town.
This is Brian Shimko's.
This is
thing,
Brian
right?
Shimko's. So he was Flossmoor Station. He was at Half Acre for a little bit. He was also at, was he at Rev? No, he wasn't at Rev. He was somewhere else for a little bit. He's been, he was at, not Beta Brow. What's the other German?
Local German?
Yeah.
Metro?
No. What's the place that's downstairs? Has in the loop.
In the loop downstairs. Wait, are you talking about Berghoff?
Berghoff. He was at okay. Berghoff for a little bit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
This guy has been around. He's been making great beer for a long time, yeah. I know. His stouts and his releases at Flossmoor Station I think it made it a place for people to go to because, truthfully, you don't hear a lot of people talking about Flossmoor Station these days.
No. So. And you know, in the early 2000s, that was like a breeding ground for like amazing right. talent.
Right, and it did go through all the three brewers that were there, and then Brian made these bottle releases that were outstanding, and people, you know, Hi-Fi Rye and all that stuff, and there was a couple White Whale beers for a while that he had.
Their pre-Dark Lord day
yeah.
has been a destination since he's been there. Mm-hmm.
But... since then, Flossmoor Station has fallen off the map, but Blue Island, he's making a name for it. So this is his Imperial Stout bottle release on Saturday. Mm-hmm. It should be great. I would probably recommend going and checking this out.
Yeah.
And at least pick up a bottle. Knowing him and his beers, I don't see why this would not exceed expectations and become a beer that people want to have and trade for.
It's cool that they're in bottles so fast. I recall them maybe this summer just opening up, right?
Yeah.
They haven't been open very long. So
no, not at all. Yeah.
So good for them, man. Yeah, keep it rolling. Don't get lost in the shuffle. Open the place, start making bottles.
Right. And it also says expect the barrel-aged version sometime in 2016.
There
so.
You go.
Well, exciting.
Right on.
Anything else on Saturday or even before Christmas here?
No, that's all I got.
Man, what are we gonna do on this Christmas episode? We're gonna come up with something fun.
We gotta come up with something fun. I got some ideas.
You got some ideas.
Yeah,
all right.
Put in some work. I got 7 days.
You got 7 days.
Put in some 6 days because we record Corn on Tuesday.
Right. Maybe it should just be 8 days for Hanukkah. Wait, Hanukkah is over, I think, right? It's over.
So I got some ideas. We're gonna try to have something special for the Christmas episode.
Oh,
I think
awesome.
It's gonna be good. If it falls into place, it'll be good.
Oh, damn. Okay. Yeah. So we usually close out the show with some beer news. What do we got happening right now?
We got a couple items in the news, man. We'll keep it short and sweet. Goose Island Green Line is apparently, you've seen this, right? It's going to cans.
Yeah, this makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, and speaking of zero, it was supposed to be a zero-waste sustainability effort from the good folks at on Fulton and Wood.
I think there's an entire website, Green Line, that Jonathan Surratt made for them about Green Line being this, like, local, sustainable.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, Goose Island Green Line is Chicago only, draft only. And the whole point is to promote sustainability and like give proceeds to organizations that believe in the same kind of philosophy. And then you could only get it on draft because they didn't want to spend the money to like, or the waste money putting it in bottles or cans.
Right.
That was the whole point of the beer.
It launched about four or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, in that prime time of like, we go through this every maybe 10, 15 years of like green recycling revolution thing, and the Green Line was part of that. You know, let's do this.
Yeah, there's a rumor that the Green Line recipe originally started by blending Goose IPA and 312. I'd like to hear more about that.
Oh, okay.
That's just what I've heard. I don't know if that's true.
So this idea of zero waste is becoming we're gonna package goods into a can. We're gonna ship it. Use fossil fuels to ship it across country and put it in your fridge that you might recycle.
Right.
But what? Well, I don't even know what recycling is at. 50%? I'll just say 50.
Yeah.
Half the people probably won't recycle. So.
Yeah. So a shift in philosophy, to say the least.
That's rough. Why do you think they're doing this? Why? Like green line. So this is the first, like, we have 312 green. Really, we have the.
I think maybe this is. I thought 312 Green was an opportunity to do something special, and they didn't. They just made like a middle of the road kind of pale ale.
Right.
You look at Dale's pale ale. You look at Daisy Cutter. You had an opportunity to launch a killer pale ale,
right. And
you didn't. I thought they should have done Green Line then if they were going to do Green Line. So maybe this is them recognizing that and kind of making up for it. I don't know.
Ken's gonna get mad at me if he's listening to this. But how different is Green Line versus 312, the urban pale ale? The green.
Yeah.
Like, is it Green Line's an IPA, right?
Green Line, well, pale ale. Yeah.
It's a pale ale.
It's Green Line's a pale ale.
And then urban pale wheat or urban pale ale, because the wheat is the yellow, the original.
Yes.
How different is?
And they're both in green cans.
Yeah. That doesn't seem, I guess, the best idea to me. And I guess it promotes Chicago, so that's awesome, right?
There's money to get. You know, there's bills to be paid, and there's that. So
I wonder what the are we gonna see other lines? Like, are we gonna see the blue line and the pink line?
Because there is a blue line. There's a blue line hopped up Pilsner.
Yeah.
Which is really good. It started as one of the Pitchfork beers.
Right. I guess I would have rather seen that go first rather than Green Line.
I prefer that. I like that beer a little more than Green Line. And then I think it would have been cooler because now you're coming out with a blue line instead of like another green can.
Right. Because I feel like other 312s are going to come. And this is bound to happen, right? So other lines.
Oh, you mean like other lines, you mean?
No, other like a 312.
Area codes.
A 312 blue.
Oh, a 312, I see what you're saying.
Like Pilsner. Maybe it's a 312 pink that's a Pilsner. I don't know. I feel like it's logical, but maybe the green line is a step like, oh, we don't want to do that. Maybe it's Goose saying like we don't want to do that. Let's do this beer instead.
Yeah.
I'm just making up stuff here. I just guess.
All speculation. Right? All speculation.
But it's still weird that this beer that's been promoted as sustainability and, you know, local is going cans.
Yeah, I agree with that.
All right.
Right on. One more bit of news. The good folks at Oscar Blues, they're one of the more innovative breweries around. Oscar Blues is introducing the Hot Box Roasters. So they've got a coffee concept. So apparently they roast coffee beans at their brewery in Longmont, Colorado.
Oh, cool.
And then they're going to open a series of shops. There's going to be coffee, donuts, and craft beer. So what they're going to do is offer you the chance to buy those items at their coffee roaster hot box. And then they're also going to have a... they're going to have roasted coffee beans that they're going to sell in crowlers.
Okay.
And the crowlers, I think it might be their creation. I know if you go to places like Dry Hop, there's this machine that cranks out the crowler.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, like a canned version of the growler. And Oscar Blues sells those for like $3,000 a pop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I tell you, man, the Great American Beer Fest in Denver every year, the coolest thing I've done in the 2 years I've been in Denver was going on there, what they call the Oscar Blues ordeal. So Oscar Blues, a lot of people don't know, it was a chain of like restaurants before it became a brewery. So there's like a, you know, one is like a taco and bike shop. The other is like a hamburger and milkshake shop. And then they had that base, and then they start the brewery based on that. So when you go on the Oscar Blues ordeal, you hit like five different spots. You hit the production brewery and you hit the experimental brewery. So I really like their style. I like what they do. And then their beer is fucking good.
Yeah, man, I actually like these guys even more. I like coffee, beer, and donuts.
Yeah.
I like tacos and beer. What was their other stop?
And then they're biking.
Oh, yeah, I bike all the time. This is like... why? Yeah. This should be my brewery. Like, yeah. I should just, if I lived in Colorado, I feel like I'd be like 100% behind.
So Oscar, I'm pretty Lewis. Sure. I'm pretty sure we'll see this concept locally. But yeah, Hot Box Roasters is the name of the coffee company. So we've seen it with Two Brothers. Two Brothers has a roastery with their coffee. You
sort
see
of.
It in Moriano. I see sort it in Mariano's. That's the only place I see it.
Okay.
And then now Oscar Blues.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
That's it, man. That's it for news.
That's exciting. So, yeah, great episode here. We did find a lot to talk about, even though there wasn't a lot of events happening.
We were a bit uncertain in the pregame, in the pre-show.
As it gets close to the end of the year, it's hard. People are out of town. Events kind of slow down. There's lots of New Year's events. I know Peace always has their event.
Peace is going to have one. Brewer's Eve at Salvage One is going to happen again.
Oh, that's right.
A couple of fun.
You went there last
year.
That
was good.
Yeah,
okay. That was good.
I think Ken's band, the Hemispheres, are playing over at Bottom Lounge on New Year's.
Bottom
Lounge. He'll be over there for a minute. We'll mention some of these, I guess, maybe next week.
Yeah.
Unless we have a super special episode. I don't know.
We might.
But, Nick, if you want to find you, get in touch with you outside of the show, how can they do that?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. You can follow us there, tweeting out more often. And then our website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes get posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher. Please subscribe. Leave us reviews.
Subscribe, like, goddammit.
We love seeing those. Like, the more people that subscribe and leave reviews, the more we can do with the show, the more people listen, and the more, Chicago beer we can drink, I guess.
This Big Hugs is legit, by the way. I'm very excited that I got to try this.
It's nice, yeah. And then we also on the website, the video version. We're doing video with these episodes every week. I think for the past 2 months now, you've seen a video version go up.
Yeah.
Just testing it out, hoping you guys are liking it. Right now, it's really just a feed of the video, so we'll go from there if there's more.
Yeah.
You get to see us drink and play with props and all that good stuff. So check that out. We'll maybe do more with the video, get some more graphics happening at some point. That's all at chicagobeerpass.com. And then the Facebook page, /Chicago Beer Pass. We share events, photos, fun stuff we go to over there. So check that out. And that'll do it for, I think this is episode 106.
And you know the Imperial Pint holiday cheer glasses? They're a nice touch, Brad.
Oh, thanks.
Very nice.
Getting festive in here. Cheers. Thanks for watching.